Okay. As we look at affirmations of words and when you look at affirmations of thought, we understand that there is a power to the thought forms we have. Weak thoughts, strong thoughts, thoughts that materialize in the physical plane, and thoughts that just dissipate out, almost like mist, and it just disappears and is gone in the cold light of day. Okay, we looked at identity. The fourth part of, or the next aspect of this thought form empowerment, we have to look at congruence. And congruence is basically rides hand in hand with identity, and is actual fact maybe a sub-subject to identity or sort of the B-side to identity. It's not saying, look, I am the God force within, and then the congruence is you living and breathing it, feeling beautiful no matter what you have in your life, no matter how pretty you are, feeling positive, feeling that there is an eternity, feeling that there is a meaning to life, and living it, becoming congruent with the identity within you. Saying, hey, I'm eternal, immortal, universal, and infinite. I'm not this physical body. I'm not the problems. I'm not the financial. I'm not my children. I'm not the tribe I live in. I'm not the religion. I'm an identity beyond all of that. And so identity and congruence ride hand in hand, because first you identify with it, and then you become it. It is almost like you express it from every part of you. You may be a total weirdo, but at least you're individual, you know? And people might say, well, you know, she's a bit strange, but she's individual. And she does these very individual things, and she is an individual. We have to say that for her. So congruence is literally living and breathing the identity that you've established, okay? Moving on from congruence, I want to talk to you for a moment on space-time. You live in a continuum of space-time. There is a place where you are and a place where you are not, and you are within time. The mind created time as a way of measuring. Basically speaking, the inner you exists in the eternal now. Now, you can have a thought form that is in time or in future time, but the inner you is not in future time. And so, if a lot of your thought forms are in the future, what you're basically saying is, it will never happen. I am placing this thought form out ahead of me because I do not believe it will ever happen. In order to create change, you have to have it in the now, and you have to feel the change in the now. Because there is no future self, basically speaking. It is the now. And you can say, well, okay, Stuart, there's a point where next Friday is going to be next Friday. Yes, but you cannot create a thought form that will create next Friday. All you can say is, okay, next Friday, I am going to go and have lunch with my boyfriend, let's say. Okay, so you're going to go meet this person that you love next Friday, and you can visualize that, and you can see yourselves arriving at the restaurant with your loved one, and you can see yourself sitting there. However, on Friday, he turned up late. You didn't go to the restaurant. It was raining. The restaurant was full, and you went to the movies. You see, as you look at creating future thoughts, what you're actually doing when you're thinking about the future is fantasizing or guessing what it might be. In fact, the future comes from within you, but it comes from the eternal now each day. And so you're moving from one eternal now into the next eternal now. If your consciousness is very future-oriented, you're basically dealing with variance again. You're dealing with living in a consciousness that is not real, that is not what is actually happening. What is actually happening is where you are right now. Sitting here, or standing here, or driving in your car, or whatever you're doing, the eternal now. And so to deal with the space-time continuum thing is to understand that the inner you is creating the future. The inner you can say, hey, yeah, you know, next year I'm going to be an architect. But if you spend too much time fantasizing it, it doesn't happen. What happens is to empower the thought, you have to live and breathe architect right now, even if you're not an architect yet. You have to live and breathe abundance, even if you're not abundant. You have to feel healthy, even if your body's sick. You have to feel beautiful, even if what you have around you isn't that beautiful. And so we're looking at creating it in the now so that it can materialize in the future. Because the future is actually the future present, not the future future. There is a gradual state of becoming, and each state of becoming builds on what went before. True. But your consciousness has to be centered in reality in the now moment. And many people have a tendency to drift into the past or into the future. The future is fantasy. The past is reminiscing. And even though you can think about the past and say, oh, wasn't it the golden years, the golden age, all of that does not change now. In fact, the very thought form of, oh, yes, I can think back to those golden days, is you saying today is not golden. Today is not one of those golden days. Today is lousy compared to, hey, how wonderful it was, you know, 20 years ago. And so we're looking at, with affirmations, of creating a personality or creating a consciousness within you that is living in the now. Finally, the last part of thought form empowerment is, basically speaking, concentration. And I don't mean it necessarily in the sense where a person would say to you, concentrate on the subject. Concentration is basically the density of the thought form. There are two parts to concentration. There is consistency and there is density. Perhaps I should talk about consistency first. Consistency is basically you layering one thought on top of another. I feel good today, layered on top of a thought form that says, I'm eternal, immortal, universal and infinite, I control my life. Consistency is coming up with something that you want and holding that intention and layering it once over the next and over the next. Not irritating the thought form, not pining, not having negative yearning about what it is you want, because that will actually push it away from you, but gradually moving in a measured way, in a measured step, layering one thought form upon another. I want to achieve this particular goal in my life. I feel good about the goal. I'm moving towards it. Today I'm layering some consciousness in that area. I'm taking some action. I'm moving in a measured way, layering one thought form upon another. And that allows a concentration of thought forms around you that hold that intention. Consistency. A lot of people will head off towards a goal and they'll become distracted. And perhaps you have in your life where you've headed off towards something and you sort of halfway through forgot what it is you were going for. Consistency is saying, this is my goal and I'm moving towards it. And you're layering the thought forms or feelings within you into the eternal now and saying, this is what I have. This is what I'm going to get. The second part of concentration, dealing with thought power, is basically density or intent. As we said before in the previous tape, there have been times in your life where desperation has saved you. Okay, if you understand that certain thought forms are very sort of wispy-like, if you saw them, you would see them like mist because they're fantasy, they're gossamer, they are these sort of daydreams. And then there are other thoughts that have high intention. The high intention thoughts have greater strength and greater density than the wispy ones. And the density or concentration of your thought form helps you to pull that thing to you. You see, you put around you this, let's say, this very strong intention, okay? And you walk out into the physical plane, and around you is all consciousness. There are other people that have various forms of consciousness. And usually, to materialize what you want in life, there's going to be another person involved. They're going to give you the money or give you the thing, or they're going to be the soulmate that you're looking for, whatever it is. There is consciousness out there. You, living in a sea of consciousness, if you have tight and powerful thought forms, it pulls to you stronger. And so concentration deals with consistency, and it also deals with intent or density of the thought form. And that is important, for it allows you to pull quickly and easily from the energy that is around you. Okay, as you develop word affirmations, you develop thought affirmations, saying I feel good, thinking you feel good, we next go on to establishing a feeling or an affirmation of feeling around you. Words are strong, thought forms are stronger, feelings are even stronger still, because feelings are what create the dimension around you. And when you think back to a time in your life that was pleasant, you will remember the feeling. You'll remember, let's say, a home that you lived in 20 years ago, and you won't necessarily remember whether the walls were painted pink or blue, but you'll remember how it felt. If you think of a person you haven't seen for a long time, you will not necessarily be able to remember their face in minute detail, but you'll be able to remember a feeling of an aspect of their personality, the way they laughed, the way they moved their eyes, some kind of little movement or gesture, the way they walked. There will be a feeling that you remember. Basically speaking, you live in a dimension of feeling. Dealing with power affirmations of feeling, what you're basically going to look at is coming back to the same theme over and over again, of establishing control, and through control, establishing freedom. This involves discipline, it involves dedication, and it involves you looking at those parts of your life that you do not control and asking yourself, why don't I control it? And then if you don't control it, let us move towards controlling it. In feeling affirmations, or in dealing with feeling affirmations, we're going to look at affirmations of feeling in control of your body. Okay? You have to feel secure there, because if you feel you're dying, or if you feel some incredibly exotic disease is developing in your toe or something, then how can you feel an affirmation of power? You can't. So number one is control of the physical body, because if that stops, your progress through the physical plane stops with you. Okay? Secondarily, you're going to look, as you move through the day, of a feeling of control of emotions. Okay? Now, this does not mean you cannot have emotions, but it means that you're going to try to establish a control over your emotions, that things are not going to seem so horrendously large or so horrendously difficult. You know, if the house burns down, we'll move to another. You know, if the car won't start, I'll take a taxi or I'll walk. If so-and-so doesn't show up, that's fine. I'll sit here in the park and wait for them until they do show up, and if they don't, that's fine also. Developing a feeling about a life around you that whatever happens is fine, that you feel in control. You know, and if you walk down through the day and you have a plan and suddenly the plan changes dramatically, that wherever it is you're going will be okay. I'll be fine when I get there. I will feel the power within me and I will understand the vibrancy, and the vibrancy will be beautiful. Understanding that you have to come into control of emotions. The next thing we're going to look at is establishing a feeling of control over your thinking process, so that the thinking does not drive you buggy, so it does not pull you into frustration, into fear, into fantasy, into all of these areas that can develop into difficulties, that you establish a control over your thinking so that basically you stop thinking. That you allow the thinking process to sort of show you how to get to the bus station, but you don't think yourself into a corner. You don't think yourself into where you can hardly move. And there are certain types and personalities in the world, and especially among men, where literally thinking becomes a religion. You know, like there's such a logical process that it does not allow for the unexpected. It does not allow for the illogical. It does not allow for the spontaneity of the life force. And so the next thing after emotion is establishing a feeling of control over your thought forms. And control also means, in a meditation, can you sit and meditate and not think, or do 1,000 thoughts that are irrelevant pour into your mind? If you set out for a goal, do you have a concentration? Do you have a density? Or does your mind drag you all over everywhere? So you're looking at establishing a feeling of control over thinking. The next thing is you're going to want to have a feeling of control over your environment. That means the place you live, the place you work. It has to have beauty. It has to have life force. It has to have freshness. It has to be a place that endorses you, a place that you control, you know, a place where you are in command. When you walk into your home, you can shut the door and there is sanctuary. Your home is warm, it is comfortable, it is fresh, it has beauty, it has caring, it has love, it has life force within it. And so I would ask you to look at the environment and say to you, does your environment create within you a feeling of security, a feeling of that freshness, of that healing, of that rejuvenation? If it doesn't, then let us look at moving. Let us look at changing it. Let us look at putting some energy into it so it becomes what it is you want. The same with your workplace. If you work, if you're an average working man or woman, you're going to spend a third of your life working. Well, are you prepared to spend a third of your spiritual quest in an atmosphere that doesn't endorse you? You know, in a situation that's negative or with a bunch of people that you don't like? No, you're going to pull away, pull out, and you're going to create it the way you want. Now, you may not be able to create it immediately in 2 minutes. It might be, let's say, a 6 months process. Hey, I'm going to work for 6 months in this dumb place, but bit by bit, gradually, I'm going to move to become what it is I want to become. Or I'm going to change this factory, and I'm going to paint it pink, and we're going to have little flowers hanging from the ceiling because that's what I feel I need while I'm working on this conveyor belt. Or whatever it is. But bit by bit, as you develop freedom, you understand that you have to develop freedom in every area, that you cannot, you know, be free for 3 hours and 22 minutes and then go and work in some place where you're totally manipulated, where the atmosphere is lousy, where the whole place is detrimental to your being. There's people that will be prepared to do that, and you let them do it. You see, freedom is not for everybody. You know, it's not for everybody. It's only for those people that want to, that have this yearning desire within them to create it, to be individuals. There's millions of people out there that have got no intention of being an individual beyond a certain amount. And they will do those things. So if you ask the question that is often asked, well, who will drive the trains, Stuart? Well, there's millions of people that will drive the trains. There's millions of people that will work, you know, in the sweatshops. It's fine. They have a learning. And it doesn't make you or me higher or lower than anybody else. It's just you withdrawing within yourself, saying, I want that freedom. The way to create an affirmation of power is to understand that you always have the ability to vote with your feet, that you can always walk out of any situation that you do not control, that you do not like. Okay, we tend to feel that we're trapped by thought form, by fear, by false sense of security. Hey, I got to do this job because I need to eat. And that is not the case. There's a way of de-escalating one dimension and recreating another that suits you. And so you look at your environment. Does it feel strong? Does it support you? You would look then, the next thing in the feeling affirmation is, let us look at the interpersonal relationships. Do the people around you support you? Do they endorse you? And if they don't, I would say to you lovingly, get rid of them. Because you are not obliged in life to drag a whole bunch of dregs with you. If they won't brighten up, cheer up, become positive, get with a plan, I would vote them out of your life. And the way you vote them out of your life is you do not judge them or criticize them or say, hey, you guys are no good. You basically withdraw. You pull away, and someday, suddenly, you're not there anymore. And people say, whatever happened to Harry? And they say, oh, I think he moved to Bujumbura. Okay, you pull out, because nobody asks you to suffer relationships that don't work. And if you're in a marriage that doesn't work, I would say, hey, get with your partner. Say to him, look, I love you, you love me. Now let's look at why this thing isn't working. And if you can't compromise, you get out of it, because you come together for growth. You do not come together for life. Okay, if you're growing in a relationship and it suits you and it's helpful, great. If it's an absolute drag, try to fix it, try to work with it in some way or other, and if you can't, vote with your feet. That is your power. The power to move, mobility, is the way that you will establish control of your life. Okay, moving on from interpersonal relationships, you would look at next thing of creating a feeling of abundance around you, of finances being under control, of you having a certain amount of money coming in. You've got to have a love of money. Because if you don't, you're never going to have the wherewithal to do the things that you want to do in life. And there's a whole world to see. You're living at the time of the greatest creativity in humankind, and you're going to need money to enjoy it, to experience it. You see, to go through the physical plane, you do not have to become a master of every aspect of it. You just have to have experienced it and taken it into your consciousness. So you do not have to understand Spanish and the whole Spanish history to understand that energy. You can just go to Peru, go to Venezuela, stay there for a week, get a feeling for the place, get a feeling for the people, try to understand as much as you can, and you've locked it into your consciousness and you've experienced it. So you've got that whole world out there, literature, music, art, television, films, travel. You've got to be a part of it, and you're going to need money to be a part of it. There's no other way. Okay, moving on from money, we're looking at creativity. You're going to want to feel a feeling or an affirmation of creativity. Hey, what am I doing? Because basically, creativity is a physical manifestation of the God force. And so you're going to want to have creative ideas and develop them and bring them into the physical plane. And that is your gift for the physical plane, no matter what it is you do. Whether you fly an aircraft, or you're a surfboard instructor, you teach people to go surfing, or whatever it is that you do, you're a writer, or you calculate things, or you drive a bus, there's a creativity that you can bring to your life. And there has to be a feeling of creativity, because that feeling of energy coming from the inner worlds and coming out through creativity empowers you. It helps you to feel in control. The neatest thing, I think, is to develop a creativity and to find a way of selling it to people so that they accept it and they give you money so that you can be supported doing the thing that you love to do. Once you get to that position in your life, then I would say to you, let us do what it is we love to do, and let us become as good as we can at it. Let us become crafty in our craft, and become good at that. And finally, in affirmations of feeling, we're looking at creating a feeling of controlling the totality of your life. And you would be almost like a sort of a security guard on a big estate. You would be constantly patrolling your life to make sure that each part of it is designed to support you, to endorse you, to make you feel strong. And when it isn't, you'll go in, you'll try to compromise, you'll try to work with it, you'll deal with it in some way, and if you can't change it, you withdraw. Affirmations of feeling is basically feeling strong. Taking a moment each day to feel free. Hey, I'm free. And I'm doing whatever I'm doing from choice. Not because of fear, not because of security, not because of manipulation, not because of obligation. I'm doing it because I want to do it. Taking 10 seconds to feel free. Taking 10 seconds to feel independent. Hey, I might be a bit of a weirdo. I might be a bit of a wacko, but I feel independent. Okay? Taking 10 seconds to create within you a feeling of self-confidence. And you can never tell somebody, hey, be self-confident. You know, it's like saying to somebody, don't be scared. That's silly. But self-confidence is basically that power mode again, you developing one success after another, living in your triumphs, and taking time to learn from your disasters and releasing the disasters as quickly as possible. Taking the 10 seconds of feeling self-confident. You know, you stop someplace, just feel powerful, feel the energy exuding from your body and say, hey, I feel confident about the way I'm going through this physical life. Taking 10 seconds to feel assured, all is well. It'll all be all right on the night. It'll all be okay. This inner power within me, the Lord, the life force, the God force will provide. And I know because I take enough action, because I do enough things, because I have a craft or craftiness, that it'll all be well, feeling assured. An affirmation, 10 seconds that feels worthwhile. What I do is important. I feel empowered. I only plant pea pods in little rows, and that's what I do for my life, but I feel this is worthwhile. I feel a strength. I feel a need to be here. I am here. I am what I am, and what I am has beauty and strength. 10 seconds from time to time to stop and feel worthwhile. 10 seconds to stop and feel creative, remembering those things that you've done that are creative, and feeling them. And 10 seconds to feel that you are a part of all things. I am truly eternal. I'm a part of nature. I'm a part of the wind. The wind blows through me, through the freshness of what I am. The sun rises from within me. The vegetation is a part of my life force. I'm a part of all things. I am the spirit of the wind. I'm the spirit of nature. I'm the spirit of the earth plane. I'm the eternity. I exude a non-infringing, non-critical love. I allow my self-independence, and I love everybody else because I will allow them also to be free, to be independent. I will not infringe upon them. That is an affirmation of feeling. Having established that, layering it on top of the thought, on top of the word, on top of the power mode, you finally move into what I would describe as the mastership of life. You become a master of the physical plane. You don't know it all. You haven't experienced it all. You still make mistakes. You're not a holy moly on a mount somewhere that people are coming to listen to. But you understand the physical plane. You have within you fluidity. And fluidity is important because you have to be able to feel that you can move. You may not choose to move, but you have to feel that you can go from one country to the next, from one state to the next, from one culture to the next, that you can take your energy pattern any place and you will feel safe. You can create around you abundance. You can move. I feel fluid in this situation because I control a hemisphere of influence that is very large. I control a hemisphere, a physical environment that has a lot of wherewithal within it. As you deal with that energy within you, you come into what I call an affirmation of essence. And an affirmation of essence is you basically being your affirmation. Not thinking it, not saying it, not developing a 10-second feeling, but your life is an affirmation. There is a linkage or an anchorage. Your power plays, your power modes have become so strong that you can look at your entire life and you can say, This house I live in is an affirmation of what I am. This car I drive is comfortable, it's strong, it's pleasing, I like the sound system. It's an affirmation of me feeling mobile, feeling abundant. My body, it feels strong. It is an affirmation of what I am. My thought forms are in control. I don't accept negative thought forms, and when they come up, I take a moment to bat them down again. I feel fear, I feel insecurity, and I stop and I say, I don't accept that energy pattern. I'm eternal, powerful, positive. I feel good about myself. And bit by bit, the affirmation of essence is you linking your entire life to this crescendo of energy. Is the beingness, it becomes the beingness of all things. Being real. That is living in the now, seeing where you are, seeing it beautiful, and knowing you can move forward. It is being open. Understanding that you have a power that the average man and woman does not have. And so you have to be open. There has to be a feeling of, I'm open. I'm open to receive more information. I'm open to change my belief patterns. I'm open to moving. I'm open to the people. I'm open and I'm ready. Being magnanimous that comes from being open. A feeling that you are not dealing with a limitless supply. So if a guy says, hey, can I borrow your lawnmower? You say, yeah, take it. Have it if you want. I'll get another. A feeling of magnanimousness that there's no limit to how much you can do, how much you can achieve, what you can become in this lifetime. Dealing with an affirmation of essence, next we would go on to being spiritual, understanding that the physical plane with all its trials and tribulations is basically this glorious journey that you're passing through. And you develop within you a path of power that deals with you understanding the world and its spirituality. That you see pain not as pain, but as learning. That you see difficulty not as difficulty, as challenges. And developing a spirituality and understanding that you are going to celebrate your triumphs. Moving on from there, we're going to look at you being fair. And being fair is basically an affirmation of essence that says, I will leave the world alone. I'm not going to get in there and judge one group and not judge another, or try to cut it up one way and cut it up the other way. Being fair is allowing other people to be what they want to be. That is fairness. That, I believe, is love, because I think the greatest gift that you can give somebody is to leave them alone. Loving them is letting them go be whatever they want to be. Then from within this essence of power, you're going to develop being strong. And strong is not taking that strength and infringing upon others, but being strong within yourself, within the dawn, within the early morning, feeling that power there. Developing within you a feeling of you moving through life in a measured step, having patience, having power. Hey, I move through this day. I don't have all of the things I need yet. I don't have everything around me. But I'm moving step by step in a cautious, without being negative way. I'm moving through the life that I'm leading, and I understand that this day is a part of the eternal now. I feel vitality, I feel strength, I feel wealth, I have the health and the strength around me. I'm a part of all things. If today is the day that my body stops, that's perfect for me because I feel the universality within me and I know that I will drift automatically to the next dimension, the next endeavor. That I was eternal, immortal, universal, and infinite before I began, and I have this affirmation that I know that if today is the day that I quit the earth plane, that I will be eternal, that I'll never be more alive than the moment when my body stops. And as you begin to develop that, then you can develop within you an essence of self-love because you feel comfortable. And if you feel comfortable, you can love yourself. And when you can develop a power of love within yourself, hey, I am truly lovable, then it becomes simple to love others. Expressing love for the world is simple when you feel comfortable. And so if you've developed over a period of time these things that we've talked about, suddenly self-love and self-image is easy, and then loving the world is simple, and then you become a custodian of light, a manifestation of the life force. And you walk through life, and what you do is you empower the people that you meet. It is almost as if the flowers grow and become brighter and stronger and more colorful because you have walked down the path of life. Dealing with this affirmation of essence, the only pitfall, I think, or one of the main pitfalls is that as you develop power around you, then suddenly the ego begins to think that you're an incredibly important person. And so you become like one of those Mickey Mouse gurus where you begin to pull people around you that are worshipping your power, worshipping your mastership of life. And if you do that, be careful, because it is so simple to create a power within you and then lose it again. And if you have people coming around you, they should come and they should drink from the well and they should go. Once there's worship, once there's relying, once they start pitching their tents, literally, around you, in the garden around you, so to speak, metaphysically, then suddenly you become the God force for them, rather than them seeing the God force within them. And then suddenly you have all that garbage that comes about through spirituality. And people come and they see your power, and then suddenly you'll drift back into manipulation. You'll drift back into being the great guru, the great teacher, and you'll find yourself manipulating the people, you know, controlling them, giving them 1,000 do's and don'ts, and they swap one dumb bunch of beliefs for another dumb bunch of beliefs. So as you develop power mode, I would ask you to retain the thought of the silent sages, to be a power person, a mastery of life kind of person, but to do it in such a way that you're not pulling around you a great flock of people that are living and breathing your every word, but that you give to them in whatever way that they want, and you only give when they come to you, when they are pulled to you. You don't go out and seek them and say, hey, anybody here needs saving, I'm the great guru. And then when you can live like that, then I believe the spirituality within you really, really develops, because you drift away from the common struggle, and you begin to develop a power within yourself, a light. And I believe that that light, bit by bit, will allow you to perceive other worlds within you, other dimensions, and you will go to other creativities, to other spiritual endeavors, while you're still upon the physical plane. It is almost as if, having completed the physical, you will enter into another dimension of self. That, to me, is a crescendo of power within you. That is the power mode. And so as you go through life, let us look at those words, I am what I am, and what I am has beauty and strength. So be it. Thank you.